Welcome, our fellow lovers of love, and thank you for joining us on yet another excursion through the stream of consciousness down the river of tranquility to fill the lake of life with love.
And good evening and hello, Sacramento. I just want to say that because, well, I guess technically this will be your second time if you heard us the first. Anyway, we're now on KUBU 96.5 FM, the voice of Sacramento. We're on Tuesday at midnight and Saturday at 10. So, yeah, just after this show ends, you can hear next week's show on KUBU, or last week's show on KUBU, because it's exactly a week behind because of where we fit on the time schedule and our production schedule. So sometimes that happens, but we want to welcome our KUBU listeners and our Sacramento listeners, and we want to let you know a little bit about us before we start, and we won't take very long. I'm Jazz, she's Lovey, and we answer questions from the internet about relationships, parenting, life, work, and sex. We give honest, unfiltered, sometimes hilarious advice. Well, I think it's hilarious advice anyway, to help you navigate the joys and challenges of love in all of its forms, whether you're single, married, divorced, or somewhere in between. We have you covered. Tune in every week for new episodes and episodes and join the conversation. If you have any questions you want us to answer on the show, send us an email at love@latenightlove.us or leave us a message on our website. And please don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the podcast on all of the various podcast networks, Facebook, Twitter, and all of that. Ooh, I put Instagram in there. We don't even have an Instagram. Oops. Yeah, well, I didn't edit the AI on that one very well. So that's why we're here. We talk about that. And, you know, I was trying to do the math earlier, which tells you I was in a meeting all day. And so, you know, I was trying to do math. And how many combined years of life experience do we have?
Well, I'm 62.
Yeah, I'm 54. So we've got, what is that, 116?
Yeah.
So we're old and we've been through the ringers a few times. Like I said, I've been to hell and back so many times, I'm comfortable with the trip, which surprisingly, the minute I became comfortable with the trip, I stopped going there. Maybe there's something to that.
One never knows.
One never knows. The minute you kind of surrender and accept your life is the minute you stop going through hell. Or the minute I started making better decisions. So
That could be.
All right. So we're going to start off. We just jump right in. We don't spend a lot of time setting things up. We get questions from Reddit. I pull in some questions from Quora and other places every now and again. And from you, you listeners, send them in to us. And so you can send us to email. If you want something more private, you can use the feature on our website. There's a contact form on our website. Okay, so let's start, love.
All right. My 36 female husband, 37 male, found out I cheated years ago. Any way I can save this?
Well, can you? Yes, especially since it was years ago. And if you have behaved righteously since then, it is actually more savable than it is if not. And frankly, men are more willing to forgive than women, generally speaking. Mm. Men will get over it. If you check all the other boxes in the relationship, you will eventually get over it. But you have to check all the other boxes in the relationship. You know, you are allowed failure. Is it easy? No, because quite frankly, you're going to have to spend some time in the mirror working on yourself before, you know, before he's going to trust you again. But it's actually probably more, it's got a better chance if she really wants it and she has, and you know, it's one of those things that happens because you're stupid and drunk and out with your friends or something when you're in your early 20s, that type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, or at a bachelorette party or something and you drank too much. I mean, it's not an excuse. But men are more likely to forgive it than women, especially if you check all his other boxes. You know, if if you otherwise have been a good wife since then, and you know, yeah, it's possible, but there's no easy way. You're just going to have to rebuild trust over time. That's it. And at this point, he's probably more hurt that it was took so long to find out. But he'll either get over it or he won't. That's the kind of thing. All right. That's not a great answer, but that's not a, what am I supposed to do with that one? Okay. What's next?
Found lingerie in my male 25 wife's female 29 wardrobe, and I don't know why it was there. Well, what could, it depends on what kind of lingerie it is. If it's, you know, panties, we like wearing stuff for ourselves. It makes us feel more confident.
Wait, so he, a 25-year-old man, doesn't know why there's lingerie in his wife's closet. Because you're a moron. That's the answer. I'm just going to be blunt on this one. Women, especially women in their late 20s to early 30s, they buy these things for themselves. They're just treats for themselves. Sometimes they're treats for you, but apparently you're too dumb to notice. What's the problem? I'm not understanding why this is a problem.
Well, he's afraid she's cheating.
Well, if he's afraid she's cheating, it means that he's not doing something, right? Clearly. But my guess is she just hasn't worn it because you don't appreciate it. If you're asking why it's there, you're not appreciating those things. My guess is maybe she has worn them and it's Dingleberry didn't notice. Yeah, I resemble that remark. So that's how I can know that these things happen. So we'll answer it like that. All right, what do we have now?
Okay, my 42 female partner, 45 male, said I had dementia. Am I being literally gaslit? Yes.
Probably. I mean, yeah. Is for dementia 45 for dementia early? Yes. Is it impossible? No. Are you likely being used as some form of an emotional weapon? Yes, and find a new partner. There you go. That's the solution to that one. I mean, unless you're having issues with memory and getting words out and showing signs of those, and then yes, it just is. But of course, at 42, you're starting to get those things anyway. So I don't know, because sometimes it can just be a very uncomfortable discussion because someone's worried about a decline in health. And, you know, if you're suffering from dementia, you're going to think that someone is lying to you. It's part of the condition. 42 is a little young. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't want to completely throw out the possibility that, you know, because the extreme cases happen. But the chances that you're the extreme case is very, very low. So it's a bigger chance that it's an abusive relationship and you should find a new one. How's that?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a dick.
Okay.
I, 38 male, got my ex, 36 female, pregnant. How do I let her raise me, let me raise the child? Okay, he's been a father before. He's raised a child, and she hasn't. So he feels he's qualified, and she is not qualified to do this.
Nobody's ever qualified to be a child, but you are parents together, whether you like it or not. The choice is clear, and that you co-parent this child. It's just the way it works. That's the best for the child, and your feelings no longer get to play. They know they're secondary. At best, they're secondary. It's what's best for the child. Sometimes it's the husband. Sometimes it's the father. Sometimes it's the mother. Most of the time, you come to a reasonable accommodations, and you raise them together.
Yes.
Now, you know, maybe there's a distance that's an issue, you know?
No. There's no distance issue.
There's no, then you behave like human beings and you raise that child to be a good human being. And you do that by modeling good behavior, by coming to this arrangement, a 50-50 arrangement as close as possible. It's not always possible to get a 50-50 arrangement, but you do it as close as possible because that's mm-hmm. what's best for the child. And that's the only discussion this should ever be.
Yeah.
You know, now, if there's other issues, then there's other issues, but all things relatively equal, that's how it is. Okay.
Okay. How do I, 34 female, tell my best friend, 34 female, I'm backing out of attending her wedding?
Okay, do we know why they're backing out?
It's just become this huge deal in money and time and the bride's demanding.
Oh, so it's like a destination wedding or something like that? Oh, well, then you just tell her you can't afford it. I'd love to go, but I can't afford it. And you just move on. And if she's going to have a cow or you not being able to afford it, then you need to find a new best friend. Best friends don't ask you to go into debt.
Yeah.
You just deal with that. That's where you start. I wouldn't make, you know, it's her wedding. I wouldn't make anything else an issue of it. You know, bridezillas happen, you know, it just does. But, you know, asking your wedding attendees to spend a lot of money to go to a destination wedding, it's great if they want to, but you damn well can't expect it.
No.
Okay. What's next?
I found out my boyfriend, male 31, is cheating on me, female 29. Not sure if I'm being petty or just move on. No, need advice.
She's not sure if she wants to be petty, do something petty like slash tires, eat a car, that kind of thing, or just move on. You will never regret just moving on. Just being the civil human being, ending the relationship like a civil human being and going on and moving on with your life. You'll never regret that. But vandalizing, other petty actions can have consequences that are unintended. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And so, you know, and just think about it this way. What's the better thing to do? I don't know, one make you feel emotionally better for a short period of time. Maybe. But will it? In a day, a month, a week, you're going to feel pretty crappy about yourself if you're an even decent human being. And I know you are because you asked the question. Non-decent human being would have taken that emotion and just gone and run with it, right? And so the fact that she took the time to ask the question, she knows that it being petty is the wrong thing to do. Because if she didn't know, she wouldn't have, right? If she didn't know, she wouldn't have asked the question. So you know what to do or not to do in this particular case. Okay.
Okay. Coworker, married, male 31, continues to make sexual advances at me, female 21. Should I tell management?
Well, it has nothing to do with him being married, yes, because it's annoying, right? That kind of thing is not acceptable in a workplace, you know. Now, there's different, right? There's the friendly flirting type of thing that can happen in certain workplaces, but that's not what she's saying here. Is so she's talking about sexual advances, not friendly flirting. And I think, yes, if you're asking the question, should you tell management? You should probably tell management.
Yeah,
because he's a walking, talking potential lawsuit. So, okay. A 21-year-old male with a 20-year-old female girlfriend. We got to rewrite these things. Treats her male best friend how I want it to be treated. I'm not sure that question makes any sense.
Okay, she has a male best friend who she treats very well. Like a bestie.
Okay.
And he's jealous. He wants to be treated really close. You know, the other ones have known each other for like 15 years, you know. They're very close. And he's relatively new.
Yeah, well, you're not going to get the same. You're not going to have that grown up with me treatment, right? When you're not, I didn't grow up with somebody. There's a grown up with me closeness, right? They went through everything together. If they've known each other, 20 years old, they've known each other for 15 years. It means they met each other in kindergarten.
Yeah.
Right? So they've literally gone through most of their life with each other. Three quarters of their lives have been with each other. They know everything about each other without even having to think about it. It's not even a thought process. So I get that you want to feel that kind of closeness. I understand how it goes. But you're just going to have to kind of suck it up, Buttercup. And you get that closeness over time, not by, you know, you can't snap that into existence. It took them 15 years. You know, don't fight ghosts, especially one that's not there. If they wanted to have a relationship, they would have had one by now. So that's, you know. All right, we've got parenting questions. Did we do this one last week? I couldn't remember, and I didn't bother to look. I could.
Okay, I don't remember
no. Okay.
Me putting this first one in. I don't like it. Did you put this one up here?
Well, if you didn't, of course I did. Yes.
Okay, just kick my 12-year-old. We're moving into parenting. Just kick my 12-year-old son out of the house because he had bad grades. How do I get him with foster care?
What if you're gonna? One, if you kick your child out with bad grades, it's a wonder that he has bad grades because you're just a bad parent, right? That's a terrible consequence. I'm going to answer this as politely and nicely as I can because that's just. You know, it shows that you have your parenting priorities misplaced, shall we say. Not saying education isn't important, but I am saying schooling and education are not the same thing. And so kicking a child out for bad grades, you're not helping them. So I suppose foster care is a better option than you, but send them to family if you have to. But go to counseling because you need your head checked out. That's the response to that is insane. That's an insane response to bad grades.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just an insane response. And so the problem isn't your 12-year-old son. The problem is you. When you want to know why he has bad grades, look in the mirror. And that's the answer to his bad grades. So the next one is it weird to send an email blast requesting no gifts at kids' parties?
No, it's not weird.
No. Because sometimes, you know, there's some families who can't afford gifts, but yet you still want them to come and have fun at the party anyway, because it's not about the gifts. It's about the sharing of the day. And so to accommodate everybody, you say no gifts. My child doesn't need gifts. He gets enough. He needs your attention. He needs your company, not your gift. And so, no, actually, I think it's a good thing, quite frankly. I think it helps widen your the ability for more kids to participate. I think you're doing a good thing. Okay.
Raising a child without a bath. They have a shower.
Okay. The whole point of a bath or a shower is to get clean, right? You don't need, yes, children can have fun and play in the bathtub and all that, great, but it's not necessary. The point of a bath is to get clean. Now, playing in a bathtub is a relatively new thing, right? It's a new invention. So the point of the bath is to get clean. So don't worry about it. It's not a big ordeal.
No. Okay. Do your friends give you horrible co-parenting advice?
Well, yes, friends will give you horrible co-parenting advice, and some will give you good ones. You just have to kind of filter through. That's just like any advice anybody gives you about raising kids. You know what works for one won't work for you. May or may not work for you. So, okay.
Any tips for doing weekly meal planning? It's exhausting. Find a website that you like that has menus. They're out there. You can let someone do this meal planning for you, you know, but you're still going to have to make your list, you know.
It's called repeat. Do the same thing over and over again. And then it makes it easier. You know, maybe do 2 weeks and then you just repeat the 2 weeks, whatever it is. You know, every now and again, you swap one of them out. You know, keep it simple. Simplify, simplify, simplify.
I sat down once and made a list of a month's worth of menus without a whole lot of repeats. And I did that because menus change in winter and summer. So I had two of them.
All right. Poor Lubby's having a... getting over a cold. All right. How much mess do you accept? Well, it depends on the type of mess. Is it toys being left out or is it food wrappers and whatnot? And, you know, there's a difference between toys, food, clothes. You know, those are different things. So it really depends. And it depends what they're doing, right? If they're in the middle of making the mess, you leave them alone. Right? You let them make the mess. And you deal with it when they're done. There's my answer to that one.
Okay.
New
dad here. Question about tossing. You know when you take the baby and you just toss him on the bed, you know?
Yeah.
Well, somebody made a comment that it was not good for the baby. And the baby was too young. He's 6 months old.
Bah humbug. Babies, they actually need that kind of thing. It helps them understand their body and their framework, helps them not get afraid of falling, helps them with all kinds of things. You know, the question is you don't do it too far. You just be careful. And you know when the baby likes it versus when he doesn't. That's actually a very good determination upon how much, how far, and all those kind of things is to, you know, they tell you if they like it or not. They just do, and you treat each one differently. Some like it more than others. Some love to be tossed around, man, you know, and others hate it. So if the baby likes to be tossed around, toss them around. The baby doesn't like to be tossed around, don't toss them around so much. Okay.
Okay. Is infant swim rescue vital or abuse?
I don't even know what the heck it is.
Well, it's where you teach your child to respond safely and sanely to if they fall in the water. You know, they teach them how to flip over and float.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, it depends on the child. Those aren't clear lines. Some children respond well to those kind of things. It's a new experience and they enjoy it, and other kids don't. It's just like the tossing thing. You know, it's not a simplistic answer, as is it right or vital or an abuse. Is can the child take it? And if the child can, child likes it, takes it, then it's fine. If the child is too resistant to it, then no, because they're going to panic. You're not going to teach them what you're thinking you're teaching them. You're actually teaching them to panic, not to not panic. Okay, so the next one is a three-year-old argues nonstop. Yes, that's what they do.
Well, it's making them crazy.
Yes, that's what they do. there are ways to stop it, and modern parents have a trouble with this one. You know, this is something parents my age and older didn't have a trouble with, but younger parents seem to have an issue with this. And just saying no and not having to give them an explanation. They can only argue if you argue. Why? Because I said so. Go off. Go play. You don't give them anything to respond to, and they have no question. So, you know, you pick your battles when you do that, though. You don't want to do that all the time. But yeah, and sometimes the answer is simply no. Go on. Go back to, you know. He's arguing because he's trying to wear you down, so you'll end up giving him whatever it is he's asking for. So that's why we've got... what three-year-olds do. All right, so we got some a few life questions. Ooh, there was more than I thought I put in there.
How do you punish yourself?
We missed one. But okay, how do you punish? What they meant was when they punish yourself, you know how when you fail to do something you know you should do, like you should go, you tell yourself you're going to go to the gym, you got to go to the gym, and then you blow off going to the gym as a good example. What do you do to punish yourself? The person who, one of the answers to this question was they don't say they starve themselves, but they force themselves to skip a meal or things like that.
Uh-huh.
Right? Or are you going to, you know, well, I can't get Starbucks the next day, and we can't have that dessert, that kind of thing. You know, I'm not a believer in necessarily punishing yourself. I'm a believer in having a more realistic conversation with yourself up front. Yeah. And if you're going to do that kind of thing, instead of punishing yourself, reward yourself for successes rather than punish yourself for failures. I think that would be a better solution for that type of thing.
Okay. Do you agree with my friend when he said that if you refuse to change, then life will kick your butt and force you to change, because if you don't, you'll get wiped out?
Yeah. And so your friend is correct. You are either changing or you're standing still. And since the world around you is changing, standing still means you're going backwards. Now, there's times in your life where it's okay to stand still. It's okay to not have to be, you know, chasing the golden ring, you know, or whatever it is. But, you know, over the course of a long period of time, you must change. Otherwise, you will become stagnant. And the world around you will change. And then it won't matter. So, yeah. I mean, but you get wiped out? Maybe, maybe not, right? But if you don't change, the world around you will change, and then you won't know where you are anymore. Okay.
Okay. Does life have a purpose or not? If not, does that give us a chance to make up any purpose we choose?
Well, you can't. Well, this is interesting. Does life have a purpose? Well, yes and no. Biologically speaking, all living organisms are programmed to procreate and continue the species. We as humans have reached a level of that where that's no longer a daily concern for the individual person, right? It's no longer our obligation to continue the species. There's enough of us out there doing that where we as a single individual no longer have that as an obligation. So now we have this, what's our purpose? And your purpose is to live. And however that means to you, if it means to raise a family, that means you raise a family. If it means to go off and be a success in business, then go off and be a success in business. If you want to create art, then create art. But you also have to figure out how to feed yourself during that point. So, you know, and some people never find a purpose that satisfies them. They just go through life existing. And, you know, try to avoid that if you can. Now, others can find purpose in God. They find purpose in an afterlife. And that's a whole different discussion that would take much longer than we wanted to go on here. But, yeah, you do get to make up the purpose that you choose. But I have a theory that your purpose actually chooses you. You don't choose it. You don't know what your purpose knocks on your door. It does. Even if it's young, the purpose knocks on your doctor. Something, you know, a lot of people, they say they want to become a doctor, but if you go back, they have an event that chose them. So, okay, what's next?
Okay. What are some of the most important things we should be informed about in life, whether it be the government or types of awareness in any particular subject? Anything would be great to hear.
Oh, this is a good question, but it's also one that's going to vary. Your answer will vary depending upon the person who's answering it, because we all have our own perspectives on life and what we should know. Now, I think people should spend more time studying history, not names and dates, ebbs and flows, actions, reactions. But, you know, that's because that's where I found value. It doesn't necessarily mean somebody else is going to find value in that. So, the most important thing to find in life is self-respect and self-introspection. You know, being able to look in the mirror, take an honest look at yourself, and then look at the world through those eyes. Because then you will see a little more clearly. You're still going to see your perspective, but you'll see it with fewer rose-colored glasses. Fewer rose tint, I suspect.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for me, you know, study history, because if history doesn't repeat, it does rhyme. And so you can learn about actions, reactions, and you can, you know, while you might not be able to anticipate details, you can anticipate broad strokes. So, okay.
What's the harsh truth of life?
The harsh truth of life is that there isn't one. Life is what you make of it. Whether it's harsh or whether it's easy, it's really you. I mean, they did a study about happiness a few years ago, and they found out that happiness really doesn't have anything to do with, has true happiness, genuine happiness, has little to do with your station in life, how much money you have, your things you have. There's a poorest people in the world. Some of the people are just naturally happy. And part of that is because they don't have unrealistic expectations. They've kind of, you know, yeah, they want life to be better. But, you know, that's tomorrow's problem. Today, I've got to go do my thing. And they're happy doing what they're doing in the day. Because essentially what they come up with is, what choice do I have? I'm going to be here. I'm going to be miserable or happy. So I choose to be happy. It doesn't mean they're happy every day, but it means they're happy over the course of time. And so the harsh truth of life is, it is exactly what you make of it. It's the harsh truth. No one else is responsible for what you make of your life. You know, people may have hurt you. You may have scars from that, but you're the one who ultimately has to stand back up and move forward.
Yep.
It sucks, but it's the truth.
That's a harsh reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ultimately,
there you go.
You're the one responsible for picking yourself back up, even if you're not responsible for getting there. And it just is. Okay. This next one's kind of parries to that, doesn't it?
Yeah. Does anybody actually enjoy life? People claim they do. Sure, there's some great moments here and there, but the unpredictability, relationships, stress, expectations, etc., make life a pretty crappy experience. Are these people being honest?
Of course they are. You know, you can experience, two people can experience the same event and have two vastly different reactions to it. And just as we were talking, you know, some of this is about attitude. You know, your personal attitude. You know, yeah, everybody has stress, unpredictability, relationships to manage, you know, expectations that they set on themselves that are unrealistic. But your choices, are you going to be miserable through it, or are you going to be happy? You're going to make the best of it. You're going to put the stiff upper lip and carry on. You're going to put on the happy face and carry on, because what choice do you have? Do you really want to sit on your couch and be miserable? Between the getting up and going to work and coming home, you know, between going and coming home from work and going, does that really? That's what you want to focus on? Rather than say, hey, I've got 4 hours to have some fun. I'm going to go have some fun for those 4 hours. Instead of spending 4 hours brooding that you only have 4 hours to have some fun, go have some fun. Yeah, maybe you only get a couple hours for it, but it's better than not having any. It's better than back in the old days where you're starving in darkness and freezing. Let's be a little happy for where we are.
Yeah.
You know, life is brutal. And modern life is pretty dang comfortable, all things considered. You know, everybody wants a simpler life. And yeah, I can kind of get the emotion to it. But man, think it through. Those simpler lives weren't so simple. Mm-mm. Every day was a struggle for literal survival.
Yeah.
Every single day. And if you had a bad harvest, you either had to pick up and move or you died. You know, a couple years drought, it's not like we do where we pump water from it. You had to give up your farm and go find a place where you could survive. So, you know, just be a little happy for where you are. You know, if you really want to get a good perspective on life, go volunteer some time at a children's hospital and see how many of those children are managed to be happy. You know, my suggestion a little bit. Okay, what's next?
Well, we have work questions.
All right.
I got fired from my job a week ago, but now suddenly I received an email that they want me back ASAP. What should I do?
You say, well, I will work as a consultant for twice my hourly rate. That's what I would do. Yeah, I'm willing to come back and help you through your problems, temporarily help you through your problems, but it's going to cost you double what you paid me before, and I'm not an employee, I'm a consultant. And you own your own schedule, you own your own hours, take your control back. They obviously didn't know what they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're going to get rid of you as soon as they can because they fired you.
They will.
They will. So go into that with open eyes, come on as a consultant, take the money and run. You know, take the money, do the job, and move on. Yeah. That's what you do. Okay.
Is it normal to not be happy at work, even though we have a fulfilling life outside of work?
Yeah. Not all jobs are going to make everybody happy. Some jobs are just exist to pay the bills. You do it because it gives you the ability to have a fulfilling life outside of work. And that balance, it works for you, right? You don't need to be happy at work. You just need to not be completely ass miserable. Oops.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just have to be not completely miserable. So, no, it's perfectly fine. Not all jobs make people happy. Sometimes jobs just pay the bills so you can do other things in your life that are fulfilling and make you happy. And it's okay. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if you're in an area that doesn't have a lot of opportunities, right? Okay. What's this next?
Why aren't jobs paying a livable wage?
Okay, well, let's put it this way. The end consumer pays all costs. And a livable wage is a number that will always continually go up, which means the cost of living will always continue. It's a self-fulfilling cycle. And there comes a point where they can't raise their prices enough. They're going to lose customers. And you end up with like San Francisco, who's losing businesses left and right because it's simply too expensive to do business there. They can't charge enough to pay the costs because their customers aren't willing to pay that.
Yeah.
And so complaining about livable wage is you're complaining about the problem after the fact. The real thing is, why does employing somebody cost so much? Why are the cost structures cost so much? Because it's the cost of living is what we need to focus on. Not the wages. It's just the cost of living. You know, just, I don't want to get on my soapbox, but every time they raise a tax or a fee, or you're paying for that, whether you think someone else is paying for it or not, they're not. The end consumer pays all costs. Businesses pass costs on. It's what they do. Okay, what's next?
Boss telling me how long my illness should last.
Well, bosses have a tendency to do this, and they're all dumb when they do it, because no one really knows these kind of things. But they're also dealing with their own uncertainty, right? They're trying to plan for something that's unplannable, and it's an uncomfortable feeling. And responding poorly to it is human. But, yeah, that's a poor response.
Yeah.
Yeah, at best. So go over his head if you can. How's that? Okay.
When you leave a job, do you think it's appropriate for staff to contact you with questions on how to do the job you left?
It depends how many questions and how long you're taking. If it's something that takes 5-10 minutes, yeah, sure, fine. Right? If it's something that's taking longer, then it becomes more like a consultancy thing, right? You be a good human being and you answer a few questions if it's right.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, no. Especially if it's part of you because you weren't doing your job properly and now stuff isn't documented. They're trying to undo a mess. You know, help them out a little. Okay.
How do you negotiate a raise?
Well, that's actually a good question. First, before you negotiate a raise, make sure your company is making money. Because you go and try to negotiate a raise in a company that is losing money, you end up like the LA Times writers who all got laid off. You can't suck blood from a turnip. So if your company is doing well and you are doing well, then it's perfectly reasonable to ask for a raise. If you don't get a raise during a time when a company is struggling, right? And then later on, a company does well, it is perfectly reasonable for you to go, hey, look, I didn't take a raise. I didn't get a raise when we were struggling. We've now gone past that part. We're now a successful, profitable company. I think I've earned a significant pay increase.
Yeah.
That's a reasonable conversation. Right. But if you're going to do it, make sure you know that you are actually producing the amount of value that you're asking for. Lots of people will ask for a raise while at the same time they're talking about quiet quitting on their TikTok.
Meh.
You know, you can't sit here on TikTok, say I'm doing the bare minimum of my job and then go to your boss and say, give me more money. It's not how it works. It's just not how it works. So the first thing you want to do is, A, make sure your company can pay your raise. And two, you know, when you do, make sure you're actually producing value. And three, the best way to get a significant raise is to change jobs completely. So how's that? Okay.
My company is going downhill, but I have no skills to find another job.
That's BS. If the only skill you have is that you know how to show up on time, then you have a skill that is marketable to people. If you can be personable, you have a skill that is marketable to people. If you all you know how to do is stock shelves, you can go to a grocery store and stock shelves. If it's a warehouse, I don't care what you're doing, there are transferable skills.
Yes.
So you want to find another job, find your local, at the very least, you know, I hate people sending people to their local economic development department because those places are terrible. But it's better than nothing if you need that kind of help. But there's this thing called YouTube. You know, you go off there and you look for people to you go search for things like how do I market my skills? And you know, go take a skills test. Look for a skills test. You have more skills than you think you do. You trust me, you have more skills. You wouldn't be employed if you didn't have any skills. You have something. A company that is going downhill isn't going to keep you around because you're not providing something. They would have fired you before, right? So you have some skills. And a lot of those skills can be transferred to other industries, other tasks, right? Because it's not the exact skill. It's the nature of the skill you're looking for. Okay.
Okay. It's not my job, but I would do it better. What do I do?
Mind your own business. Or, so you know, it depends. I'd actually need more context. Is it like a, you know, someone who's getting a different job, who has a higher job that pays more or whatnot? And two, you may not know the entirety of the job. There may be aspects to that job that you don't see that are actually more important than the aspects of the job that you do. So, you know, just because you think you could do that job better doesn't necessarily mean you know what that whole job is.
Yeah.
So, but if you think you could do it better and you know, that's one of those discussions you have with your supervisors and your boss and you see if there's, you know, opportunities, or better yet, you take your skills, you put them into a resume and a good cover letter and you go off and you look for jobs that are similar. You know? That's kind of the way that it works. But you got to prove to the people who do hiring and maneuvering that you can actually do the job better. But before that, again, you got to find out what the job actually is, because you may not actually know. Okay.
Have you ever been too sick to call in? No, man, you got to force yourself to call, make that call.
No, you've been in the hospital. Sometimes you can't make the call.
Oh.
But you have someone else do it. My wife has had to call, you know, before and call and tell people I was couldn't do it. So, it's, but yes, you try to find some way to make the comment if you can, even if it's not you. You know, have your mother call if you have to. It's, you know, you do mainly so they don't worry about you. Because what happens is if you don't show up to work, you know, for a day or two, what's going to happen is they're going to call the police and have them go do a welfare check on you because they think something may have happened.
Yes.
So, okay.
What job posting should I be looking into if I want to start a career, but I don't know what career I want to get into?
Okay, you can't start a career without knowing what career you want to get into.
Yeah.
You can start building yourself a wide variety of foundations so that you're prepared when a career opportunity opens itself to you. You know, that can be done. But you need to figure out, at least in general, maybe not even specifically, but, you know, do you want to get into some type of management? Do you want to be managing people? Is it sales you want to do? You know, do you want to work in technology? Find some way to narrow that down so you can at least start to figure out what kind of foundation you need to start building on. And, you know, the thing is, you may end up at a place where you didn't realize you were going to go. But most people like this, where their career starts when they get a job and they just go on that career path that is presented to them. If you don't have a career path, one will choose you.
Yes.
So you either have to sit down and figure out where you're going or just be prepared to, you know, surf the tide, man. It's all good. All right. So we have to be a little bit careful what we choose for another on topics that we choose for this for another few minutes.
All right.
For another 10 minutes. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Now we're going to move on to sex questions. Uh-huh. How do I stop myself from whimpering when my boyfriend squeezes my boobs?
Why would you stop yourself?
Yeah, that's good. It gets feedback. Does it hurt? You know, and then you may have to tell him that, you know, I need to be a little more gentle.
Yeah. Or, yeah, because it depends. And whimpering, there's different ways of whimpering. So if it's a natural reaction, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't censor yourself.
No. Deal with what it is, right? If it's a bad type of whimpering, you've got to discuss it with him because you don't want to have that kind of relationship where you're not telling them, you know, that something is uncomfortable because they didn't want to know. They don't actually want to hurt you. And, they shouldn't. And, you know, if it's a good one, then they want to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't stop yourself. Figure out what that actually means and communicate with that with your partner. Mm-hmm. Now they're 18, so they don't know what they're doing. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Has anyone had a long-term relationship for the desire for your partner didn't fade out or get boring? You're going to go through some down times.
Yeah, well, because especially as you get older, you get health issues.
You can't maintain that peak excitement. It's not, the body is physically not able to do that.
No, and you get health issues and stress issues and all these various things come up. And a good long-term relationship isn't based on the physical desire, or it's based on everything else.
Yeah.
The physical desire is like the dessert. It's the cream on, it's the cherry on top of everything else. It's, you know, sure, it can be like the frosting that holds layers of cake together, you know, but, you know, it doesn't have to be. So, yes. Now, has anyone had a long-term where the desire didn't? I'm sure someone has.
Someone, somewhere.
Yeah, there's always the exception to the rules. But it's pretty much, no. Even if it's just a short-term thing where someone's going through menopause and it takes a couple years to get their groove back.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have that kind of thing happen. And men go through their own menopause transition thing, too. So it's not like they don't. So, you know. Hormones change, man. They do it in the teens.
Yeah.
They do it in the 50s. It's just what it is. Okay. Let's not do that one. Not that one. There we go. We can do that one.
Okay, when is it okay to fake it during sex?
It's okay. Well, it's okay anytime, because sometimes it's the faking it is what leads to the making it. You know what I mean?
No, I've never felt it was a good thing. I didn't feel it behooved me to fake it. I mean, you're telling them that what they're doing is working. They're going to do it again.
Yes, but what if oftentimes it did work, but for whatever reason that day it's not?
You be honest.
I don't know. Sometimes you fake it. Maybe it's the difference between men and women. I'm not in the mood, but she is, so we're going to go and do it anyway, because who knows when the next time's going to be.
No, I'm faking an orgasm.
Oh, well, okay. Well, still, I don't know. I don't think it's – I wouldn't make it a normal routine part of the thing, but I also don't think if you pull one off every now and again to it's such a big deal.
Never did it.
Okay. I don't think it's such a big deal.
I didn't think it was in my best interest.
All right. I think we can do this one.
Okay. How do I tell my vanilla boyfriend about my kinks?
Carefully.
Slowly.
Yeah. Start with the milder ones and work your way up.
Yeah.
I would think. Yeah, you know, your boyfriend is probably only vanilla because he's 18, doesn't know any different. Or he's raised by people who are sheltered.
18-year-old males are pretty up for trying anything.
Yeah. Generally speaking, you can get them to try pretty much anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would think the thing is just to be careful as you move forward, you know. And really it kind of depends on the kinks. You know, the traditional one is you could just ask him about it. You could put some of the, you know, you could use some of the adult material on the screen and, you know, see what his response is, I suppose. Yeah.
Horn.
Yes, well, I was trying not to say it because we're on the.
Sorry.
I'm trying to be a little, even though that's why we're on after 10 on the radio. So, because I knew it was going to happen. So you can put these things on after 10. You can have a little bit freer conversations after 10. That's why we're kind of killing time for a minute, because I need 3.5 minutes. Well, actually 3 minutes, because I can fill some endings. But I mean, we need 3 minutes to fill.
Okay, what about the third one from the bottom?
Third one from the bottom? Okay.
How do I stop sex from being painful and hard?
I'm assuming it's a woman asking this question.
Yeah, it is. You know, it shouldn't be that painful and hard. I would suggest a visit to your doctor.
Yeah, or you could try some lubricant, and maybe a lubricant issue. Maybe she's having but also talk to the doctor, because that could be a medical issue as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So start with a trip to the doctor. You're right. You could try different positions, angles.
Yeah.
Angles can sometimes be a thing. Some people have their organs are not aligned the way most people's are. Put it this way. Let's see if I can say this. Right?
Yes.
And so if you've got two people whose organs are aligned slightly differently, but in ways that don't match, these things can happen.
Yeah.
I think our best advice would be to go ahead and go see a doctor. Talk to the doctor about that. You know, my guess is it's probably could very well be a lubrication issue. Yeah. But lubrication issues, you know, there's a couple of different issues for that. It could be medication could be causing it. If memory serves, some birth control can cause lubrication issues. It can be you're not as excited as you think you are. You know, I didn't know how old they were, but it sounds like they're probably still relatively young. So you could still be having hormonal changes. there's so much there that's potential, you know, or your partner could just be bad at it.
Could be.
It's entirely possible. But, you know, I don't know. See the doctor, which I think is our kind of our unified guess there.
Yeah.
Yeah, see the doctor. See if there's anything physical. And if there's nothing physical, then you've got a different discussion. So I'd start there.
Okay.
Because pain isn't normal.
No.
Well, unless you're again mismatched, like one's small, the other's big, kind of thing, or like we said, one has, you know, the shapes are just wrong for each other, which can be fixed by position, actually. So yeah. So maybe that, but I'd check with the doctor if you can. All right, I think we can. If you rephrase this one, I think we can do this one.
Okay. Just going down on a guy before the deed, doing the deed, make him
finish
more quickly.
Depends on a wide variety of factors that have no clear answer, right? It might, and it's one day, and it might not the next day. There's not a clear answer to this question. You know, the generic answer is, well, if you're really good at it, it doesn't matter. Because you just serve up for the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. Can it? Yes, but I don't worry about these things. If you're actually worried about that, then you take the break before.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you trade off and then, yeah. That would be my suggestion if that's an actual issue. Or you're just looking for a reason not to. And you don't need a reason not to want to. All right, so we've got time. We're going to kick that away from our KUB audience, even though I think we're slightly over now. So anyway, we want to thank you guys for joining with us. We will see you next week or Tuesday or Saturday, whenever it is you find us next time. All right, so we've got a couple questions left.
Okay. Men, don't you get tired from thrusting during sex?
Yes.
You do? Really?
Yes. What, do you think we're Usain Bolt or something? Yeah. It's not like an easy, depending upon there's reasons we like doggy style and these things, because they're far easier on our backs.
Oh.
Missionary is hard. It's exhausting. Hurt your lower back. So there's a reason we like at the end of the bed, and because we can stand up and it doesn't hurt. It's less exhausting. Think about it. So there's a reason that we do those things. So yes, it does get tiring, you know, and we put up with it anyway. Why do you think we fall asleep when we're done?
I don't know.
Yeah, because we've exhausted ourselves.
Huh. It's worth it, huh?
Probably most of the time, no, but we're stupid, so we do it anyway. Never said we were smart. Okay. What's this next one?
Okay, this is our last one.
All right.
How to encourage my boyfriend to try butt stuff?
Just ask. Most, yeah. 9 times out of 10, you're not going to need to encourage them. You're just going to have to let him know that you're open to it. Now, unless you're the other way, right, and you want to play with his, even though younger men are more open to that than those our age. So, but yeah, again, you're just going to have to ask. And, you know, now if you did, you know, you can encourage them, you know, a little sexual training can get a guy to go farther than he otherwise would. You know, if you really wanted to push him on that one. We're dumb like that. We're so stupid. Hey, you know, it works for us. Well, not really, but we think it does. All right. Thank you guys for joining with us tonight. Thank you, Lovey, for putting the show together. And I didn't do any of the graphics this week, so that's terrible. So I'm going to boo them right now. You can find us at latenightlove.us. You can send us love letters or your questions to love@latenightlove.us. You can find us on all your favorite social media and whatnot. And from me and Lovey, we want to thank you for joining us. And please remember to love everybody.
Good night.